Thank you, BBS Radio, for making it possible for us to be heard worldwide over the internet. Thanks to everyone of you listening to BBS, and I welcome those that are here on our simulcast conference call. Thank you. I heard you, Jeannie. Good evening, Jeannie. Welcome to the call.
Hi. Thank you.
All right. And somebody else came in. Welcome. If you want to, please say your name and location.
This is Merrill, Mill Creek, Washington.
Who is this from Washington?
Merrill.
Hi, Merrill. Good evening. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Hi, Merrill.
Hi.
Hi, this is Jeannie.
Hi, Jeannie.
Much love and support to you, Merrill.
I can feel it, hi.
All right.
Our group is so full of love. It's so
yes.
And we got the GoFundMe. Is that set up yet?
I don't know.
Do you know how it's okay? Soon, though. Mm-hmm. I'm sure.
Is that all we have so far, Jeannie?
That's right. And those who are here listening into BBS Radio.
Oh, right.
Yeah, BBS. BBS came on early tonight.
Yeah.
Usually I listen that way, but I happen to be by
right.
the phone, so I thought, what the heck?
Yes.
Might as well connect
live
to them.
Well, I'm glad you did.
Yes, me too. I feel you're here, and I'm glad that you're here, part with us, and that you can feel the group connection. I think that's a great thing.
It really helps.
Mm-hmm.
And Fred, called Fred, and he really helped too.
Okay, great.
So, do you know the topic, Heinz?
I haven't checked the email yet. I'm just about to open it, and no, I don't see an announcement email yet.
Okay. I'm not seeing an email yet.
Right.
I only get them on Sundays. Do you, Jeannie, do you get them on the other days, too, still?
I do get them on other days, but sometimes they come in after the call has already started.
Yeah,
and
right.
There's been
a few that have actually come
in like the next day.
Yes, I know. I don't understand that.
But I don't know if that's something from his end or if it's my AOL. I have AOL, so sometimes they get kind of tardy. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
All right. Welcome to the next person. Please say your name and location.
Yes. Hi. It's Jane in Pennsylvania.
Hello, Jane. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
All right. And in the last months, with been spending a lot of time with Terry, he particularly the Sunday calls, I barely ever received an email on that. Oh, she's just a baby.
Oh. Mm.
Good evening. Welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
Sirius from Sirius.
Hello, Sirius from Sirius. Welcome to the call. And we wait for Wynn to present himself here shortly. He'll be here probably in a couple of minutes. I'd rather keep the lines open and keep it silent rather than playing music because people will come in here shortly again, I hope.
Mm-hmm. It's raining here in Kent. What's it doing in your neck of the woods?
Uh-huh. It's sunny and hot over here.
Sunny, yeah. I think it's just perfect here right now, Hayes.
Where's here?
Northern California. Citrus Heights.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. Right. Citrus Heights, which is right next to Sacramento, yeah.
I used to live in San Francisco. I remember the days.
Mm.
a little cooler there.
It's the marine layer probably is a big part of that.
We'd run over to Berkeley and get the sun.
Meryl. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, Heinz. This is Prudy.
Hi, Prudy. Hey. Welcome. How are you?
I'm great, thank you.
All right. Good evening. Welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Chris in Memphis.
Hello, Chris. Good evening, Chris. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. What's up, Ice?
Doing well over here, and things are good.
Oh, good deal.
And I welcome all those that are joining in here through BBS Radio. The helicopter is up there. I see wind will be landing shortly, and hang tight, and hopefully will Terry also show up. We'll speaking about the what? Good evening. Welcome to the next caller.
Hi, it's Wynn.
Hi, Wynn.
Am I there, Sonny?
You sound great.
Thank you.
I welcome one more caller. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Michelle in Cambria.
Hi, Michelle. Good evening. Welcome.
Hi. Hi.
All right. So we are live on BBS Radio. Welcome again to all those that are here joining in tonight, this evening, with this call. Wynn, I'm glad you're here. I'd like to give the mic to you, and you take it from here. You can turn on the button. I think
there
you're present. You're not you're soundless. The sound of
there
silence.
We go. I think am I on now?
Yes, I hear you now.
Is Terry on the line?
Terry is not here with us now.
Okay. Let me see where she is, because I told her. Hang on. We're so professional. The hosts don't show up. I can do it without her. If she doesn't want to be here, say
and welcome those in the who just got on board. Thank you for being here. Actually, the mics are still open, so if you want to, please say your name and location.
Helen, Virginia.
Good evening, Helen. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Hi, it's April, Las Vegas.
Hello, April. Good evening. Welcome.
Thank you.
All right. All right. Is somebody else welcome? If you want to, please say name and location.
Hi, Susan in Michigan.
Hi, Susan. Good evening.
Good evening. Hi.
Welcome. As Wynn is trying to figure out where Terry is hanging out.
Terry is here.
All right. I can barely hear you now, Wynn.
The phone isn't working, okay?
Okay.
So it's probably a dead battery. It's amazing how in the physical realm, the more you get, the more you have to take care of. Have you ever figured that out? I remember this one guy said, and I think he was right, that some of the highest people on the planet live in Skid Row.
Yeah.
Because there's something amazing that happens when you don't have to take care of anything, whether it's people, children, homes, computers, cell phones, But in any case, I'm going to go sit in the other room. So Terry is there. So, hi, is he going to be here the whole call? Cause,
no, I need to leave here shortly.
Now you tell me. Now you tell me.
Yes, okay, sorry. Well, I've been running around, barely making this call.
All right.
Deb, do you need my assistance?
The thing is, I will be on the call, but I'm working on a project that needs to finish.
Does Deb know how to control the comps? She has to have the codes for the Monday call?
Yes, I just have to get on there, so I can do that.
Okay, because now I'm not sitting at my computer, so I can't control the console, okay?
All right, well, give me a few minutes to get on. I have to start my computer.
All right, I start the recording.
All right.
What's today's...
All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
Today?
15.
15, okay.
This conference is being recorded.
This is May 15th, 2016, 2017, thank you. Win and Terry in Sedona, everybody, everywhere, and welcome to our Monday night call. You know, it's kind of unbelievable to me that we can do this in the way we're doing it, and... burn ourselves out, but I ask myself, how do we do this? Why do people keep finding this interesting? How do we keep going? You know, going from 3 conference calls a week to now a whole planet healing every day, and the little voice in my head said, co-creation, okay? And I think that's the key to it. But I don't think I ever focused on talking about it. And I thought I would see if I could nail it. So maybe it would help you guys have even a wider perspective than you do. And... you know, when you look at our track record of all the things we've covered, and almost every one of them could be a standalone total teaching in this realm. And yet, we have not one, but probably 10 things which could all you could spend your rest of your life focusing on. You know, to start out with the first 6 months and just the channelings from Daphne and what they said and interpreting them and talking about them and learning about the higher dimensions, at least in that initial stage. And then all of the calls we've done with Terry, and constantly learning about the Elohim and Ra'an. And then the immense work of Carla Rucker. Thousands of online sessions. First, there's the original Ra material. And then there is the Quo material, which some of you are aware, if you've never looked at it, and someday we'll read some excerpts from that on Whole Planet Healing. But the Quo material is, after Carla's channeling partner died, he was holding, as I get it, he was holding the lower hologram to bring the Ra into this realm. In other words, there needs to be a pathway. And the Ra group is very high, and the Elohim is even higher. And there needs to be a pathway through the dimensions so they can speak through somebody. At least this is my take on it. This is how it seems to me. So the pathway can be through somebody in this realm. For example, I seem to be able to hold the energy of the space between the higher realms and this realm. And I can only assume that's true, not because anyone told me, but because they keep talking to me and they find me valuable, and that two people in a row ended up having the Elohim talking to me. So neither one had never knowingly had communicated with the Elohim. So I have to be somehow important because I'm holding the space into this realm for them to come in. And when no one holds the space, and a channel, for example, tries to get into a high realm without a staircase down, then in that space where the staircase is down, the negative will usually come in and try to screw it up and give people negative greetings. And they may do that anyway. They look for the negative, looks for holes. It looks for weaknesses, and it comes in on the weakness. And no matter what you do, I didn't understand this at first because I'm thinking we're talking to the Elohim. Why can't they give protection if they are who they say they are? And for the very reason that the weakness in there can be protection to a certain degree from the higher realms. But where the person is deficient in their holding their hologram together, and when I say deficient, I don't mean to imply any judgment that a person's wrong or bad, just deficient. We're all deficient. Every single one of us is deficient. We have holes in our hologram. We have traumas. We have old patterns. And it's a constant peddling to stay above our weaknesses. I mean, when Jesus said, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. Do you remember that famous story from the Bible where everybody was going to stone this prostitute to death, and he stopped them and said, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. In other words, everyone present had something wrong with them. But even wrong is not the right word, because as soon as you say wrong, you create judgments, and the judgment is worse than the defect or the weakness, because it's not your fault. It's like you're a product of your evolution. Being in this realm, choosing to be here, many people come in to be of high service, and then they get screwed up as they go through many lifetimes. But the screw-ups are not really screw-ups, because when you come in from the high realms, you've got to flow around, learn how the negative works in this realm in order to even begin to start to correct the realm. And you go through all these lifetimes. Now, I'm not saying everybody, but it seems like the tendency is to go through a lot of lifetimes, even lifetimes where you become negative. You become part of the negative. And you are kind of like sneaking in, even not knowing what you're doing, because you're still carrying this somewhere in you, this high thing of high intent and high mission to come into this realm and make a difference. In one of the early sessions of the Elohim, they were saying how people came in from the Elohim level at different times, and they came in looking at everything from the top down and saying, All right, we're going to be the heroes. We're going to be the ones to change the realm. And they would come in all bold and courageous, and they got beaten down. It's very hard, because once you're in this realm, from a high realm, you don't have the discernment of how the realm works. And then, even when you do things that look like they're grand and glorious, you end up oftentimes getting killed for doing those things and having horrible, painful deaths. And it happens all the time. So what I'm going to talk about is from my experience level. I can't find this stuff in books. I can't find anyone else talking about it. I do, you know, to some degree, everyone talks about everything. But I haven't found anyone getting to the root of this, because the key to everything, the key is co-creation. And whether you understand it or not, we are being co-creative on these lines. Okay, yes, you're listening to me. I'm the big mouth. I'm talking. You listen to Terry. But we generate an energy that has no hierarchical level to it. I mean, you can enforce a hierarchical level. You can make up something in your mind that when it must be an ascended master, or Terry is an angel. And those are terms that tend to cause one to give up their power to someone else. Now, it's tricky, because sometimes you have to be passive for a while before you get it. Because when you come forth and you have a lot of negative patterns, remember not to judge yourself. You've been in this realm, and you're a product of this realm for a number of lifetimes. And you cannot go through this realm without picking up negative patterns. And we talked about yesterday, the sins of the parents are visited upon the children, which means even if you come from a high place on the other side, and you happen to choose parents, either you do it by some wise wisdom level, or you do it because you want a life and they're available, you end up in the energy field of those parents during the formative time of your life. So now your energy fields are going to model the energy fields of your parents. And if you come from difficult parents, then you are going to have to, some point in your life, redo the energy fields that they brought you up with. Otherwise, you'll be repeating the patterns for your entire life. Your children will be brought up in those patterns, and it goes on and on. So we have the unusual circumstance of having ongoing conversations. Is your phone working, Terry? We have the ongoing circumstance of having conversations with perhaps the most powerful energies in the universe. I mean, if they are who they say they are, it is the most powerful, from the Elohim to the one infinite creator to the Ra group. But Do they ask us to follow them? Do they want us to supplicate ourselves, to genuflect? Genuflect. Is that the word, genuflect? Genuflect, I think that's the word. You know, get on our knees and say, rah, rah, you know, it's like turn them into gods. We do that, but that is not the highest relationship with them. It's, and we are doing, I believe, what is the highest relationship with them, which is to enter into co-creation. And this is a trick, because it's not something you can learn in a linear way. I didn't learn it in a linear way. It's like, okay, let's go to school and learn co-creation. It can't happen. But you all have been sitting in a field of co-creation over and over again, over and over and over and over again. And we dance around it. And you're starting to get some intuitive knowledge of how it works. And I do believe you can only learn it by seeing it demonstrated. You can't learn it from a master who has all this wisdom to share, or anyone. So, what is co-creation? Now, I'm not sure of the dictionary definition of it, and I probably should have looked it up before this call.
Been Devin's.
Huh?
Devin's in the studio.
Okay, good. Thank you. Co-creation is where we merge on an inner level with another being or other beings or the Elohim and the Ra or beings on the other side. Now, when you use the idea merge on the inner levels, you need to be certain, have a certain amount of strength to do that. If you notice, when we call in the light, we always say we invoke a group energy while maintaining the sovereign integrity of your soul. So you have to have a certain strength to allow this kind of merging to occur, because you have to have something to come back to. You're not supposed to be just glommed on and merged and be like part of a glom. You're doing it independently. The group souls, they merge with each other and then have sub-councils and operate as a team so they can move their energies. This is how I understand it. They can move themselves around. So where if they need an incredible amount of energy to come down into an area, they can merge. If they need different specialities, like one council, we've learned about a couple councils of the Elohim, and there's more. Someday we could have a conversation with them about all the different councils they have. But we know there's one council that they say specializes in communications with a given culture, translation of languages. That council is who speaks through Terry, so they say. There's another council that's higher than that one, because the Elohim is a multidimensional group soul, as is the Ra group, a multidimensional group soul. And they both have councils. They both have organization. It's a big job to try to make a difference into this realm. And it's not like you can just say, I'm God, and okay, everything is cool now. They make a lot of decisions. They create, you know, I mentioned this earlier. Once when I was talking about Edgar Cayce, they said that the Ra group created a certain configuration of their group to work through Edgar Cayce. So it's like they are constantly evaluating, from my perspective, they are constantly evaluating and reevaluating what they can do to make a difference. And that we have, as a group, have come to some amazing understandings of how that works, not only by listening to them, but by paying attention to the different energies that come available as we're on these calls, and as we learn to apply it as we're off these calls. Now, the Ra group told Carla Rucker that they needed three people to hold the energy for them to come through. And so there was Carla, Don Elkins, and Jim McCarty. The Elohim group, I seem to be enough, okay? Because Terry and I can engage in sessions fairly casually. But when we want to go really deep into something, it's far harder most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time with just me. So all of you have learned, I won't say all of you, but many of you have learned how to hold the energy for some of the most extraordinary messages coming through Terry. And it may escape you that you're actually doing it. So I wanted to point it out in black and white. This is co-creation. We are coming together, blending as a group without losing the sovereignty of our souls and our individualities. We are blending as a group and creating like a landing platform of group energies for the higher sources to penetrate our realm and add to our group energy. And we do it all the time. We do it on Whole Planet Healing all the time. And we do it on these calls all the time. It happens so often that it's like second nature. When I go on the radio and I talk, I didn't understand this at first. I want you to know that I have, unlike learning these things as I go, because when this first started happening, I did not have a clue what I was supposed to do and how I was supposed to do it. But, you know, it would happen that I would be on George Norrie and I'd be talking, and the next day I get this pile of emails from people telling me they felt energy on the line while I was talking. There was the time I refer to all the time where I was giving my first talk in 2004 on the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, and I could see the energy that was in the room. I could see it. It was like glowing, and it was moving. And I said, what is this? And this is the first time I ever experienced this energy. in that way. And when people left the talk, they were running up to Terry, and they were saying to Terry, "We could see auras in the room. I never saw auras. I could see light in the room. I never saw that. That must be what people are talking about." And when we did a channeling, and I said, "Could you explain that energy that was in the room?" They said, "That was us. We were helping you." So now that kind of blew my mind, because for the past 2 years I've been talking to them. I've been getting this incredible information, but I was not cognizant of the fact that they could flow energy into this realm through me. Now, they may have been doing it anyway, and I just didn't grasp it. But this became a study point for me, how they do that, how that works. And is that really true? And will it happen all the time? Will they ever abandon me where I think they should be there, and they're not? Okay, maybe they'll be busy. Maybe they're doing it with someone else. So in any case, it's a fairly rare phenomena, even though we do it so casually, it's a rare phenomena for that to happen. And it's another form of co-creation. And some of you could learn how to do that. And some of you are already doing it. It takes a high intent to be of service. It takes no ego, not caring about the recognition, and realizing how much you're helping other people. And you may not even get rewards for it, or credit or acknowledgement. They won't even know where it's coming from. You know, another amazing milestone, because believe me, I'm hitting myself on the head and saying, this is like science fiction. This can't be real. And another milestone happened when Terry was taking my picture. And I had to take a picture for a radio show I was going to be on. And the woman asked me, "Do you have a picture without your glasses?" And I didn't, so we had to take one. So Terry took the picture. Terry, you're not on the line yet, are you?
No, my phone's still not working.
Mm-hmm. So Terry took the picture, and I looked at it, and I didn't like it. I said, my face isn't relaxed. And then I told her, "Why don't we call in the light and see if we can't get a better energy, or if I can't look better in the picture?" So we did, and we took another picture. And I looked at the picture immediately, and I said, "No, I don't get it right. I don't like the way I look." And I forgot about it. And then a week or two later, I looked in the camera at these two pictures, and there was an amazing phenomena on the second picture. My chest was covered in pink light, okay? And I don't think I had ever, this was the first time that I associated pink with the Elohim. Now, I didn't associate it immediately, but we did a channeling, and I said, "Could you explain that pink light on my chest?" And they said, that was us. You called on us, and when our frequency crosses your frequency, pink is the color that is produced. Well, this was kind of amazing, okay? Now I've got me coming into a room and people can feel energy, and Terry taking a picture and there's pink on my chest. And it happened another time when I was giving a talk in somebody's backyard and in Hollywood. And people, somebody took my picture sitting in a chair, and I was just shrouded in pink light. Who's moving your phone?
That's me.
Oh, you're on the line?
Yeah.
All right. I should have known it was you. I would normally have accused you, but... Okay. So I have those pictures, but I don't like to put them out all the time. Should I leave the room, Terry?
You can.
Because now there's an echo, okay? Okay. Because I don't want people to relate to me in an exalted way. I mean, I a guy walks around and people feel lights around them and see lights and energy lifts, you know? It's like, I'm glad that that happens, and I'm glad other people have the experience. But I don't usually like to talk about it because I think people will relate to me in the wrong way. And my experience is the more ordinary I am, the more I am like you because part of me is like you. That's the deal. The more people get it because that's empathy coming in. And that's what I was always doing in my music and my poems. Because I found that, you know, when I was younger, I just always felt like nobody got me. I was walking around, I didn't connect with my family. I mean, I could do things, I got smart, I was doing stuff, but there was something in me unacknowledged. And then when I was in Berkeley, I started writing songs. And I was writing songs about perceptions I was having. And suddenly I found that other people could acknowledge the perceptions. Like, the perceptions were their perceptions as well. I could see people, and I could see the issues they were going through. And I would write songs about it when I first did it. I didn't know if I was really seeing them. I thought I was. But then I got a special kind of heartfelt acknowledgement when I would share these with other people. And so it encouraged me to keep doing it. So back to the idea of co-creation. Why is it a group energy is so powerful? Well, each of us has gone through our track for a number of lifetimes, and each of us holds an energy that is connected to our track. We also hold an energy connected to our astrology, to our original cosmic birth into this realm as a child, as a baby. And we hold that energy and we, when you co-create, and the co-create is allowing your energies to blend with another person. And remember the important thing, the caveat of while holding the sovereign integrity of your soul. So this is duality of the highest order. Okay, what is duality? Where two things are true at the same time, okay? Like some people say, love and hate, cold and hot, self and service to others. How do two things become true at the same time? Well, it's that you need, in order to blend with someone else at the highest level, you need to be totally self-realized in yourself. If you look at people that you probably admire, you'll see they give themselves over to their audience, to their public, and the public gets it. When you see two people in love, you see they've given themselves over to each other, but they're not weak. If it's weak love, it becomes codependency, not co-creation. Co-creation is where people move in and out of their individualities, and they can blend, and they can be independent. Now, I remember when I was younger how I would fall in love, and I would be totally immersed in another person, and I would be getting energy from another person. And if the relationship fell apart, I fell apart because I had not yet learned how to hold co-creative energy. I was codependent, and that at a certain period, I learned I could totally immerse myself in a connection with another person. But if it didn't work out, I always had somebody to go back to. I could always be myself. You know, some of you don't know that yet. Some of you are in one of the illusions that's perpetrated in this realm that I am empty, I am nothing, I need to be with somebody, where's my partner, you know. And I went through that. I said, I can't be who I am until I have a supportive relationship. It would be too scary to do that. It would be, oh my God, everybody would be looking at me and I got nowhere to hide. And so here I am doing exactly that with people looking at me, and I got nowhere to hide. And yeah, I do have a co-creative relationship with Terry, but it's not, at least on my part, and less on Terry's part, it's not a codependent relationship, because she is independent and I am independent. And when we come together, we can come together, but we're not joined at the hip. We're not qualmed. You know, an interesting phenomena has occurred since Terry has been, went through this cancer thing. And it's like, for a while, she couldn't take care of herself at all. And I had to totally make dinner, make breakfast, make the appointments, do the research, you know. I stopped doing all the other things I do to figure out how to get through that. And, you know, I said, I came to the place where, what if she leaves? What am I going to do? Can I handle this alone? And first I wasn't sure, but then I knew I could. But then I got the idea she wasn't going to leave. Even the Elohim said she wasn't going to, she'll pull through this. And then I said, do I want everyone to know what's going on? Or should I just make pretend nothing's going on and hold the energy myself? And I got to the point where I shared it with people. And it became a co-creative act because so many of you genuinely cared, and I knew you cared so much for Terry and the work we're doing, and it's been important to you, and you've been part of the co-creation of it and the flow of it. So now, you know, Terry, you know, I was cooking for Terry for this period. And then we went to the local restaurant, the Cafe Jose, and she liked it, and she wanted to go there every day. But I didn't want to go there. Or another two restaurants. I didn't want to go there. Too much to do every day. So she started going by herself, which is not something she would normally do. She would feel uncomfortable. But she went, and she started loving it. She would sit by herself, and she did something that I do when I sit by myself in restaurants, and that I start co-creating with the environment. And Terry has such a beautiful energy when she starts doing that. And people started responding to her. The help started responding to her. About a week ago, a lady came over and said, "Can I buy your breakfast?" Are you there, Terry?
Yeah, I'm here. I mean, that totally surprised me.
Just yeah, why don't you?
Said Angel said I should pay for your breakfast.
Right. So, you know, co-creation doesn't necessarily mean an outer activity. It can be a totally inner activity. And you can be co-creating with a restaurant and the people in the restaurant. I don't know if I can explain this in words until you have the experience. But you can try it. You can sit in a restaurant and look around the room and look at a person and take them in and send them the light. And then another person, send them the light. Before you know it, you've built an energy rapport with the entire room. You've lifted the vibration of the room, and you've done it all by yourself. And other people may not even know it's coming from you. This is like truly selfless service because they just start feeling better. They start changing their day. And you were part of their shift, but they don't know that, okay? In Terry's case, I don't know, I think the people start to know it because she is so beautiful in her own soul, in her essence, that when she goes into that place and she's radiating in her space, other people get it. And they start thinking, who is this beautiful person here? And they respond to her. And I don't know if they look at me and think, who is this beautiful person here? But they do get something, and the vibration shifts. When we do these calls, so many of you are giving of your love. You really are. And we're receiving it. And we know it. And we feel it. And you are making the call happen. I am not. I'm showing up, and I'm opening my mouth. And Terry shows up, and she tells a blonde joke. But all of you are giving of your deepest essence on these calls. And then through the call, through all the calls we do, most of the calls we do, we have our sources on the other side that are just looking for the opportunities to jump into the energy of the call and raise the voltage and touch you so that you can get an idea of how to work it. And learn these things as tools which you can bring into your own life, okay? Now, one of the things is a lot of times people, when they first come into the calls, it takes them a while to get it. And maybe they look like followers, okay? God forbid. But nonetheless, it's kind of like you come into this realm, you get a track, and you're probably screwed up. And it takes a while to start untangling stuff and get you out of being screwed up so that you can feel these energies. So, you know, sometimes you'll feel it, or you'll have some kind of, you know, feeling your third eye and your crown chakra, and say, oh my God, I felt that. I felt it. Then you want more and more, and you come back and keep coming back. And over a period of time, there's a whole alchemy that's going on in your energetic system as you become more and more used, familiar with these energies. And that when we come together and create a group energy, what happens is each of us has a piece of the puzzle, a piece of the field. And none of us have the whole field, but we each have a piece, and our pieces are all different. So when we create a group energy, our pieces of the field become very, very strong, because each of us is supplying the piece that the other person doesn't have. And so that's why group energies are so powerful. And group energies for the highest good of all concerned bring in the Elohim and Ra group and other positive support teams on the other side, so that we get the experience of not only communing with each other, but communing with them. And keep in mind that we have talked about this many times in the past. I'm not going to go into it except to touch into the fact that the Ra group was extremely connected with Jesus. And I put all kinds of things together showing how I figured that out. Because to my knowledge, no one else has ever put that together, the connection. Most people have no idea that there's a Ra group, much to say the Ra group was connected to Jesus. But we put it together, and when Jesus said, when two or more are gathered in my presence, I am also present. Now, when he would say, I am present, he obviously wasn't talking about his body. His body is not present, and his body will not be present again, I don't believe, in this realm. And if somebody said it was his body, I would be looking very, very carefully and feeling the energies to make sure it wasn't a clone, because that's possible. But nonetheless, we've learned enough to recognize the Christ energy on this call. We've studied Terry Friedman, and when two or more are gathered, I am also present. This is tricky. I'm trying to interpret Jesus' words, and this is me talking. This is not like from conversation repeating the Elohim said this or something, but it's like John Lennon's song, I am you, you are me, we are we, and we are all together. Well, obviously, that's not true, except if you're talking about high group energy, okay? It's true in the higher realms. But in the lower realms, we are all coping individually with our own survivals, our own expressions, our own individualities. And to really go into a group energy, you have to get more masterful at the individual expressions. But when we can talk like a couple sometimes can speak for each other, they can use the term we would assume Jesus was connecting to high sources. And he said, the Father and I are one, right? Well, if the Father and Jesus were one, when he would say, when two or more are gathered together, I am also present, is I him, the individual unique expression in the physical, or is I the Father, who he was one with? When he said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. Was he talking about I, the individual expression of Jesus, or I, the Father? You know, it's not so different. I hate to say this because it creates the wrong, for some people, it would create the wrong identification. But when I say the Elohim comes into my field, and then other people get their energy through me. At another time, somebody could say, the Father and I are one, okay? Now, is the Elohim the Father? Well, the Elohim is like an overarching energy, huge energy that penetrates this realm that is far bigger than any of our individual energies. The Ra energies are more close to our energies. They're still way bigger, but they're more close. But it's hard to imagine how big the Elohim's energies are, except by being on these calls for a period of time, hearing how they describe themselves, and monitoring your own experience of the energies on the call. So, I hope, let me see what time it is. Let's see here. I think Terry's on the line. And,
Yeah, it's interesting when you talk about how big they are. They can get really, really big. They can get bigger than the whole Earth and look at the Earth, and it's like a globe. And they can get really small and look at really small things.
Yeah. Well, they really don't have the size, okay? It's like they can be very big. We can see them as big. They're constantly in a state of recreation, as I get it. And they can be infinitesimal. They can go into our smallest little cells of our body, and they can overarch a galaxy. That's how I sense it, you know?
Yeah,
and it's very hard for the logical mind to grasp it. You know what? It's 6:57. We got to go to Whole Planet Healing. And Deb, are you on the line?
I am.
Can you unmute everybody?